WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
It's Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTRLive. We're chatting. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop. Buy all the, Fortnite icons and the man you cannot see. And Trek Wars stuff later this week. It's hashtag epic partner. I'm the producer. As I set him up for it, we have the intern.
Heyo! Shink shink! Star Wars lightsabers are coming back at the end of this week. I am so happy!
Chewbacca's coming too.
Yeah, you whatever get a crossbow.
Whatever that is.
You get a Chewbacca, you get a Chewbacca lightsaber, you get the Cantina song in a festival.
Don't know what any of that means.
And you get a bunch of Star Wars stuff, including lightsabers, in Lego.
I bet they charge you for it. Which means use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop, because hashtag epic partner.
All I know is people looked really, really happy with a lightsaber.
Screw the Trek Wars. Anyway, we have the one and only Tim Stein.
Well, that depends on whether or not you can hear me.
We can hear you.
Then you have me. At least for the length of this webcast, known as WTR Sunday Night, streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're live at twitch.tv/WTRLive. If you're listening anywhere around the World Wide Web, go to twitch.tv/WTRLive. We got a live chat room. It's absolutely the truth. Would I lie to you?
Anyway, Keishi will be with us here in just a little bit. He's slightly delayed.
Who?
Anyway, he'll be here in shortly. As we're here to talk WWE Backlash, which is this Saturday live from France.
When?
Saturday. 1 p.m. Eastern? Question mark?
Where?
But before we get into that, Brent.
Just never play along.
Yes.
Just never play along. Bloody play along once in your life.
So, Brent.
Yes.
Hi, Brent.
The neck brace.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Thoughts.
Okay, this would have been all about, so number one, we finally got a payoff to all of this-ish. For those of you who may have not seen, Tony invited Jack Perry to the ring on Wednesday night's Dynamite after a match got called very early due to injury. Get well, Mr. Hobbs. Jack Perry comes out and basically says, all he's ever wanted to do was help the company. And, all this BS about, like, I'm here to help, and I just want to, you know, be back. And Tony is sitting there with the dumbest smile on his face, like, okay, and we all can see what's going to come from this. So Tony offers his hand for reinstatement to Jack Perry. Perry shakes the hand. They raise the arms, and you know something is coming, and Jack Perry hits him in the gut with the microphone, which Tony sells as he got shot by a bullet flat onto his back, and about 5 seconds later, then grabs his stomach.
Late reaction.
Delayed reaction. I know we had some thoughts about that last night on CB Radio as well.
We did.
So Tony is then laying there on the ground, and you have the Young Bucks and Okada, who were seen with Jack Perry earlier in the night, come running out, and they're like, what are you doing? And they go to help Tony up, and all of a sudden, the Bucks have each one has an arm of Tony, and will we get an EVP trigger? No, Okada stops them. Which then leads to them putting Tony up into a tombstone position and giving him the Meltzer, a.k.a. Tony Driver?
The TK Driver.
The TK Driver, to which Tony sells as though he's dead. For that part, good on him for just laying there and not writhing around and all of that stuff. We then got the Bucks and Jack Perry and Okada celebrating. They then leave the ring completely unaccosted. I just want everyone to know this part. They celebrate and then leave the ring all together with no issue.
I mean, the referees kind of went, hey, come on, gotta go.
Okay, there was like one or two refs that were just like, get out of here, go! But there was no, like, real thing of, you just attacked the president of the company. So they send them off, and then you get basically all of the B-level wrestlers come rushing out to check on Tony, because, I would say
D-level.
D-level superstars come out to check on Tony. You know, like Darius Martin.
People who can't make Rampage.
Exactly. Then we get the one quote-unquote star out of the group, which was Orange Cassidy, standing there on the apron. And then we had the big one, which took me a minute to realize, because I was like, was that Hector Guerrero? No, it was Shad Khan, Tony's dad, who just looked bewildered more than anything.
He just woke up from a nap.
Yeah, he was just puzzled. And so he's standing. My favorite reaction is the dude who turned and saw it was Shad Khan and had the whoa overreaction to it. It wasn't just kind of like a dude, really? It was like that over exaggeration gif that you see from people. That whoa kind of look. This then translated to Thursday night. All of wrestling Twitter was a buzz of Tony better be selling the shit out of this because they know he's going to be there in the war room of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He could have not been in the war room at all to really sell it and been like, hey, he's too injured to actually make the draft. But no, there is Tony sitting there with the infamous soft neck brace.
Whatever happened to Tony Khan promising to never become a gimmick in AEW?
He's going to get there. He'll get there.
So Tony Khan is sitting there with the neck brace on. Wrestling Twitter blows up with, oh my god, he actually did it! Never mind, he's actually turning his head to look at some people.
with a shit-eating grin on his face.
Yeah, with a real shit-eating grin. And so he's there with the neck brace. The only network to really cover this is the NFL Network. ESPN's not touching it.
Only Pat McAfee did on the web.
Okay, yeah, McAfee touched on it. The big note about this is, the entire time, the NFL Network has said that they were going to put a camera crew with Tony Khan to kind of chronicle the experience of him being with AEW and the NFL draft in about the same time. Hence why the show for this week was put in Jacksonville, so he could do the draft. We then have the most infamous part of this weekend, I would say, when he's on the NFL Network giving an interview and decides that he's going to take a shot. He calls AEW the Pepsi of professional wrestling and called the WWE... Rock, do you actually want me to use the line?
Go for it.
The Harvey Weinstein of wrestling. And again, wrestling Twitter loses their minds.
Yep.
Not, I would say that's not the greatest combination that you want to do when you've got two people on your... Never mind, I won't go there.
No, no, don't go there. Nope, not touching that part. Nope, but it's fitting that, you know, he has people on his... Yep,
there's an advertisement in the walkway. So anyway, we had that, and then yesterday, for Collision and Rampage, the announcement was made that Tony was, quote, too injured to travel for the upcoming week.
Yes, next week in Winnipeg.
He is still going to be in Jacksonville, writing the show, calling it in.
Remotely.
Kind of like we saw with other places, but okay. But basically, he was too injured to do that, and he was going to get shuttled over from the draft, because that's where he was earlier in the day, to be backstage for the show. Cut to the end of the show, when the cameras were quote-unquote off, and Tony comes out, and even though he is too injured to travel, as stated by doctors, is healthy enough to do the Daniel Garcia dance.
Yes.
Kayfabe, y'all. Kayfabe.
Multiple head and neck injuries.
And then the other part that I loved about it was everyone chimed in about the article that the NFL wrote. Because the NFL talked about the fact that Tony Khan was attacked by his own EVPs in an article on NFL.com. And people championed this because they're like, oh, look at all this publicity. Look at this. Look at that. Kayfabe is real. What people didn't realize is if you read the article, two paragraphs in, so just past the lead, they completely pull back the curtain and talked about, this is absolutely an angle. Tony Khan is the president of the company. He was attacked on TV by his EVPs, but this is all an act. No one wanted to acknowledge that part. They just wanted to say kayfabe was real. Tony is acting the shit out of this.
So now I go back to Tim's point, which was what, Tim?
Whatever happened to Tony Khan promising to never become a gimmick in AEW?
Hey, Rock, what were the ratings for this week?
Well, not the greatest. I mean, Tim, in fairness, he lasted 5 years without becoming one?
But the thing is he had always been on TV still. So I would say that he has always kind of been a character because he's been sitting backstage with the headset. And but he's been making the announcements of Giannis Antetokounmpo, is how you say the name, not whatever he screamed at that one point. Like, they've announced Tony Khan as owner of AEW and everything. This is very much akin to when it was announced before that Vince McMahon was the owner of WWE.
And then
I've talked to several people who have stopped watching AEW because of what Khan has been doing.
It's not surprising, to be fair. It's not surprising. But no, it took him 5 years. He had his Eric Bischoff moment where he went from just a dude to now a character who took a bump to create the new world order. I mean, the Elite. And this is where I welcome Keishi to the show.
Hey, Keishi.
New World Order.
They're taking over, man. Been a fun week, hasn't it, Cash, in AEW?
It has certainly been interesting. I mean, it's been kind of interesting on both brands with, you know, with AEW, Tony Khan becoming a character and possibly blowing himself up in a limousine in the future.
We can only hope.
That's down the line.
No, it's going to be a Tesla this time. It won't be a limo, it'll be a Tesla.
Well, yeah, but they would have to be able to actually drive before they could blow up.
Well, I was going to say, we don't know if they can rig a Tesla to blow up. It might just do it on its own.
He's got
to No. It's been documented. Teslas will catch fire on their own without any help. So that's more plausible.
No, they can just put that Cybertruck that the Bucks drove through the car wash and it'll stop working.
Gas pedal just gets stuck in the on position.
And then, you know, WWE had the draft and some releases. So, interesting week for wrestling in general.
Nothing funnier than watching a Tesla being charged by a diesel generator on the side of a road.
Yeah.
WWE let go of some people. The most notable is Cameron Grimes.
Cameron Grimes posting a tear-filled video over it.
I was going to say, it had me feeling Rockstar Spud vibes when he posted that video, where it's just like, oh, damn it.
Yeah, it sucked, but I'm also not worried about him. He will he'll hit the ground running as soon as he can.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
I really hate to say this. This comes in the same vein as the AEW releases that happened a few, two, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
When it came to AEW, I think the biggest thing about that was more, you know, Tony said he would never release people. But when you actually looked at the people he released, you kind of went, is there anyone really of note on this list? I mean, Dasha was a ring announcer, and a lot of people liked her. And it's like, I think the shocking thing was that was the biggest one to most people, was Dasha getting released.
No, Anthony Henry was because of the injury.
Oh, the injury. Yeah. You're right. That one put a bad taste in people's mouth, and that was immediately corrected.
Once
he's healthy, he's back.
Yeah, him doing it on April Fool's Day was probably not the best idea, though.
No,
but like, no offense, Jose the assistant. I don't think anyone's going to be like, oh my god.
Well, and especially once Andrade left, there was kind of like the writing. You could see the writing on the wall with that, unless they had him doing something right away. But
right, but I mean, even the whole faction of Roosh and all of them. We saw Roosh come out last night. It was just Roosh. Mm-hmm. So, Preston Vance, maybe the next one in the next series of cuts. Who knows? Because I don't think this is going to be an isolated incident for Tony, especially with as much money as he threw around for people like Mercedes and Okada and Ospreay. He's going to have to trim some budget.
Especially with TV money hasn't come in yet. So,
yeah, they still haven't signed that TV deal.
Which I think they were hopeful of doing, and they haven't signed it because they're waiting for the NBA to foot the drop.
I think that they're waiting for part of that, and I think there is I don't want to say a vast, but I think there is a substantial difference between what Tony values AEW and what Warner Brothers is willing to pay for AEW.
I think what Warner's is willing to pay in general, because they have to budget basketball. Basketball wants more money, and they may lose the games, a package of some sort, because Amazon is playing a part in that. Amazon's picking up some NBA stuff. Appears.
Well, and you've got two new players in the game that you never had before, because it was ESPN and the broadcast networks of, CBS, NBC, Fox, ABC. So you have that. Now you've got Netflix and Amazon that are both going, we have substantial streaming infrastructure. We could handle sports. And you've seen that with, Netflix is now, what is it? Max is showing basketball games. Amazon is showing football on Thursdays now.
Yeah, and they're going to be showing basketball. Amazon has a bunch of things as well. So everyone's getting into the game. Paramount mm-hmm. shows football.
Paramount's got the association with CBS as well.
Well, that's what Warner has with Max, because the NBA deal. Right. But there's a lot of players and factors involved, which is why the exclusive window is continuing on, and they have not signed, because they have until, October, I think? To get a new deal in place. Which hopefully by this summer it's all taken care of. But the longer it goes on, you wonder how
it's all going to play out, and what the pieces of that deal are going to be. Is it going to be trim a show or two? Is it going to be we expect a certain number of specials again? It'll be in is the catalog part of the deal?
I don't think it is going to be.
If I was Warner, I would try to secure it.
Oh, I would too, but I don't know if they're going to pay.
But if the thing is also it depends, what does Tony think the value of the catalog is versus what Warner does? Because Warner might be like, we're going to offer you this amount and the catalog's part of it. And if Tony goes no, then they could go, all right, we're going to cut out, $300 million from the deal because that's what we think.
I think it's telling that they've showed their pay-per-views on the former Fight TV this go-around.
Triller or whatever it's called?
Yeah, Triller. Yep. It's telling that it was not Bleacher Report exclusive.
Well, I mean, if you've heard about Bleacher Report, I'm...
No, but I think it's a sign of their Warner deal, that it's not exclusive in that range anymore.
Hmm.
That's where it's telling, I think.
Yeah. But there is one big thing that came out yesterday, or two things that came out earlier this week that affect AEW, or at least their fan base.
Oh, Finn and Drew.
Finn Balor and Drew McIntyre have re-signed with WWE, which a lot of people thought those were going to be dominoes that fell to AEW. And the fans online are not happy.
I mean, I didn't think Finn was going to go.
I didn't think Drew was going to go.
There were a lot of people that were saying Finn was going to go because, he's been there 10 years, he hasn't been utilized. And then it's like, as soon as he signed, the vitriol of just, he did it for the money, he's choosing money over his craft, and it's like, guys.
He's 40-something years old. What he has left to prove?
Well,
take your money.
The other part I have to say is, it's very easy for someone at a keyboard to be like, I can't believe he would you know, sacrifice his love for wrestling to do that. Keishi, if someone gave you a check with 6 zeros behind it, what would you do?
I would probably take the money.
Good job! Hey,
Keishi, I could give you a check with 6 zeros on it.
But nothing in front of it, right?
I said 6 zeros behind.
And I said 6 zeros on.
I know.
Yeah, that, no, Keishi and I have known each other a little bit too long.
So yeah, that's the big story of the week. But coming up this Saturday, live from France, is WWE Backlash. I think 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m., 10 a.m. Pacific. Check your local listings for time availability in your network, in your area.
10 a.m.? Hey, that's not too bad here. Sweet.
It's not 5 a.m., so at least you got that working for you.
No, it was 2 a.m.
2 a.m. Yeah.
It was 2 a.m. with Australia. Jesus.
Yeah. Probably kick off an hour before. But, yeah, so we got five matches to talk about. They may add another match here or there, I think, to fill out the card.
I heard rumors of 2 more matches being added.
Okay. Because I think they're going to try to split them up between SmackDown and Backlash. No, because SmackDown's in France.
Yeah, they have 5 announced matches for Backlash right now.
Yeah, and there's a title match on SmackDown, so they're trying to, you know, spread things out a little bit. Give the people what they want. But speaking of tag matches, it is the Bloodline, Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga taking on Randy Orton and Kevin Owens in a tag team match, play a holla holla.
We got Teddy Long. That was great.
Holla if you hear me.
So the Bloodline's been on an attack now, especially at Kevin Owens. Now, Randy made the save this week leading to this match. Thoughts and opinions?
I like the presentation of Tama Tonga so far.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's one of those things where if he had come in, and in a way, he kind of came in a little bit like Solo, you know, hood up, beat down. And it was like, okay, but they've made him out to be, like, if Solo Sikoa was an enforcer, this is the hitman that you bring in to do the dirty work. Like, the enforcer is the right-hand man that will, you know, bust kneecaps if need be. But Solo's the guy that you actually give the gun to that's like, go take care of him. And we got that from the car crash that happened on SmackDown. We didn't see the car crash, but we just saw the results of it. And the way that Kevin sold it made Tama seem like a big, vicious deal.
I like that they showed the car crash after, not before.
Yeah, you saw Kevin kind of stumble out to the ring.
And bloody.
Bloody, and then it got worse after the beatdown. And then, yeah, it was Nick Aldis bringing Paul out and showing him what happened. And Paul's doing just a beautiful job of being the guy in the middle of just horrified by the car accident and then being told by Nick Aldis, like, you need to tell them to get in line or there's going to be serious repercussions. And you just see the look on Paul's face like, don't make me talk to them like that, please. I value life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which was really good.
Well, it's good that they have him doing that, especially being the son of, why can't I remember his wrestling name?
The Tonga
Haku?
Kid?
Yeah, Haku. Who?
Oh, yeah, the adoptive son of Haku.
Yeah, who, like, notoriously was, like, the, like, strongest, meanest guy that, the one guy in pro wrestling that no one wanted to mess with in real life. So
he was a real life badass.
It's funny for me because it's like I look back because I mean when I first was introduced to Haku, I was very, very young, and I remember him being part of the Colossal Connection with Andre. And it's just one of the things like when you look and it's like, oh, there's Andre and there's Haku. There was a difference between the two of them. And then when you see him with like later in the WWE run and then especially in WCW, you realize, oh, shit, no, Haku's really a big guy.
Yeah.
Because when he was with Andre, he looked normal. And then, like I said, you look at him in WCW and you go, oh, no, that, okay, there was a, wow, Andre's really big if that's the way he looks now.
Yeah, there were only 2 people in that locker room that were able to keep Andre sitting on his ass and behaving himself.
Mm-hmm.
That was Haku.
What?
And Bad News Brown.
But it's nice that we got, you know, and we have a ready-made team name for Randy and Kevin.
RKKO?
I think it's just RKO, but they put the KO as the duct tape.
Mmm, I like that.
Because I saw, like, next week they're going to have, like, the first episode of RKO TV or something like that. And I was just like, that is funny.
It just works.
It works. And I mean, a lot of people had said that. It's like, oh, if they tag team up, it's just RKO. Yeah, that works. But it gives Tama and Solo someone very credible to fight while Roman is gone, because we've seen Roman for 3+ years as champion. He needed time away in order to refresh.
Well, you have to remember, and here's the thing, you know, people bitching and complaining about Roman only defending that title 4 times a year. The guy is still taking oral chemo. He's still warding off leukemia. And all these people bitching and complaining don't, what, do they forget that? Do they not realize it? Do they not understand how serious that is? This guy's got to fight this off for the rest of his life.
Well, I think it falls under all columns that you described.
Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, we talked about it when Roman was first fighting. They went a very sports-heavy defense with him, and they did the same thing with Brock Lesnar, where it's like, when Roman showed up to defend the title, it was supposed to be for a big deal. You know, if it was going to be on TV, it was going to be, like, the big match that you were going to watch. If it was on a premium live event, it was going to be the main event. So it was trying to make that title really big. And not that, you know, defending it every week isn't also big because it gets it on TV. But it's like in the territories when it's like, when the champion came around and defended that title, it was like, ooh, I want to see this because I don't know when it's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, this match, who wins?
People are going to hurt in this match. People are going to hurt.
I say the new bloodline wins. Tom and Solo.
Okay. Tim, who wins?
They just
go ahead, Kent. Okay, continue.
It's just like, you can't bring him out hot and have them do all this stuff and not, and just have them lose, because then everything that they've done up until this point will suddenly have been for nothing. So,
well, the only way a loss would work, Casey, is if Solo took the pin and then he goes on a rampage afterwards.
No, to me that doesn't even work, because
I think it's going to be an established beatdown to it's to reiterate, like, you thought the old bloodline was bad. This is a new bloodline, and like, the gloves are off.
Yeah.
No, I was saying that the only way a loss for them could work would be going in that direction. I'm with Keishi. You know, like, you call him the new bloodline. You know, the Solo bloodline, because he seems to be the one in charge at the moment. So,
new bloodline rising.
Oh God,
that was just.
Keishi, thank you for the laugh.
I was waiting for it.
Yeah, who led you into that one?
Anyway. Brent, who you got?
I'm going to go bloodline with this, only because the only way I see the bloodline losing, and even then, I wouldn't even do it because you have to sell what happened, would be if Jimmy got involved.
And apparently he's out hurt, so...
He's out hurt, and also it would be one of those things of, like, he would try to jump in, and then I could see the bloodline just beating the hell out of him again, or he tries to, you know, jump his way back into the bloodline at Kevin and Randy's expense, but as we said, he's already hurt. But even that way, I know that Tim had said, you know, the only way he could see is if Solo lost and then kind of went on a rampage. To me, if Solo lost, it would be the reiteration of, we don't lose, and if you do, there are consequences. So if Solo ate the pin, it would almost be like I would wait for Tama to take him out.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in all of this, Bloodline is going to pick up a win. It'll be, you know, if Kevin or Randy takes the pin or the loss here, it's not going to hurt them.
There are two guys who could take a loss at the stage of the curse.
Yeah.
All right, up next is the WWE Women's Tag Team Titles, Asuka and Kairi Sane, defending against Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. This one should be pretty straightforward, I think.
A storm is coming.
You think so?
Is Asuka fully healed?
Apparently.
And Bianca got drafted to SmackDown on Friday.
Mm.
But the women's tag team champions are the only ones that are up for draft.
And can bounce between shows.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when they lose the belts, they're back on the brands they were drafted to, so...
They could still win, and it wouldn't matter what brand they're on.
Yeah, they could appear whatever, and then if once they lose them, say Jade goes to Raw, then once they lose, then they're on separate brands. which I could see them doing. But this
is staying with SmackDown, though.
Okay.
But, I'm feeling.
Go ahead. Oh,
well, I didn't know if you were done or not.
Go for it.
Okay, well, I'm feeling that they're going to do a title change only to set up a bad breakup down the road between Bianca and Jade and have those two powerhouses, because that's what both those girls are. And then we wind up with the match that we're all anticipating to eventually get. I think that they're going to start by having them take the tag titles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beginning. And it could take a year and no fallout until Royal Rumble. That sets up a match for WrestleMania between the two of them next year, which would work. And they could hold the title until, like, as far as the Rumble. And that loss is what causes Bianca to turn heel.
Okay, so Tim's going Bianca and Jade. Keish, where are you going on this one?
I think I'm going to have to agree. Like, even if they're on different brands, them having the titles, doesn't matter what brands they're on, they'll be able to go on both shows. And having them, especially having Jade, who's new and they seem to be profiling her in a way that she's a big deal, having her able to go on both shows because she's the tag team champion would utilize her to the best of the ability that they seem to be going right now. So mm-hmm. I would not be surprised if they won the titles this weekend.
And Brent, to put it on the record, Jade and Bianca?
Jade and Bianca, I think they'll pick up the win here. It may feel a little early with Jade, but at the same time,
yes,
I think
no.
her and Bianca, well, we always talk about, is it too soon? And then your mind instantly goes to Paige. Night one. But I think you can strike while it's hot right now with Jade, and it won't be bad. Also, you've got Bianca there with her, and like Tim said, you can eventually set up a split from them if you want. And it's not Jade going 41-0 running through nobodies. It can be tag matches where it's like Jade get featured and Bianca has her moments and everything like that.
So I asked this question, Brent.
Yes.
This Saturday in France, is it Tiffy time? As Tiffany Stratton and Naomi challenge Bayley for the WWE Women's Championship.
I want to say strike while the iron's hot, but the problem is Bayley just won that belt. And I think having it technically her second defense, because the first was the defending against Naomi, I think it's just too soon for that. You know, Bayley character had her moment at Mania, and then you're going to snatch it away and give it to Tiffany, at least to me. Mm-hmm. I know the fans love themselves some Tiffany, but you have just introduced a monster onto SmackDown thanks to the draft, and she has already started to make her presence known. And I don't know if putting her there with Tiffany as champion does a lot. I think if Bayley is having to face Nia, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, Bayley's trying to get over as a face now. Nia's your monster heel, and that's a mountain for her to climb, literally. I think this can be a good feature match for Tiffany, and she's gotten over on both Naomi and Bayley twice, thanks to that moonsault that she does, which on the main roster has looked good after the first kind of incident that she had with it, where she slipped.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since then, it's like she's been able to nail it perfectly, and it looks beautiful, and it just adds to her character. But I think you can continue to build Tiffany, and I think her big moment comes in June at the top of a ladder.
Mm.
Because I think her with that case is perfect. And she can carry around a goddamn bubblegum pink Barbie briefcase and it will just work.
July, yep. For record. July.
July. July.
Yeah. So you're going Bayley.
I'm going to go Bayley in as a retain. Naomi will probably be the one that eats the pin here.
Do you agree, Tim?
Yeah, with all due apologies to Victoria, British Columbia, Canada. To tell you the truth, I don't hate the idea of Tiff winding up winning Money in the Bank for the ladies in July. At this point in time right now, it just, don't take this the wrong way, but think about it as high cuisine. It just tastes better at the moment. Tiffy chasing the title. It works better right now. Let her chase it. They did that with Austin, and look how over he wound up being.
Case, do you agree?
I mean, I would not be surprised if they did put it on Tiffany, but I also agree with most of the sentiments that Brent said, and I think it's too soon to take it off of Bayley. So I think Bayley will retain.
Okay.
Think of it as a reward for Bayley for doing everything that she did, especially during, you know, the pandemic era.
Indeed. All right, up next, the World Heavyweight Titles on the line, Damian Priest and Jey Uso. Keish?
I don't see them taking it off of Damian that quick either. The only way they do it is if that is how they break up Judgment Day, where they try and get involved, even though we told them to stay out of their business and cost them the title, which could then, I guess, lead into a program with Damien and Finn, because, you know, Finn would probably be try to be the voice of reason and Damien would just be like, no, and that would cause stuff there. But I don't think they're going to give it to Jey right away here. I think Damien Priest keeps the title.
I think with Judgment Day, I think Judgment Day being hurt a little bit kind of put some damper on that.
Yeah, so they'll probably have to put that on hold for a little bit and do it further down the line.
Because with Rhea out and now Dominic out hurt.
Yeah.
Damien versus JD is not JD. It's not the dream match people want to see as a program.
No.
Right away.
If anything, what you want to do is build up a Damien Finn with JD in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Which you can do because, you know, JD kind of got brought in because he's friends with Finn, and Finn's had both of their backs because they were tag team champions, and, you know, JD and Finn go way back. So, like, you could have that where the tension goes between Finn and Damien over JD, but I think it'd be better to have all members of the Blood or of Judgment Day kind of be involved with the dissolution of Judgment Day when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
I can see something where, like, Finn basically says, I sent JD out to protect our title. And Damien just kind of looks at him and goes, this isn't our title, it's mine. Mm-hmm. And that's where you start to have that, like,
tension.
Yeah, like, is Finn jealous? Is Damien paranoid? And like I said, you throw in JD McDonagh as kind of the middleman of, like, I was just doing what I was told for the better of the group. What's going on? And at
why
worst,
are mommy and daddy fighting?
Right, and at worst, he gets to be someone that just Damien pummels the shit out of, leading to him and Finn getting their hands on one another.
Yeah, all right, so Case is going Damien. You're going Damien, I assume, right?
I'm going Damien. I mean, don't get me wrong, main event Jey Uso yeet, but I don't see Jey picking up the title here. Could he eventually have a run with a belt? Sure. I think he should for a solo run because he's kind of proved himself as a solo act. Mm-hmm. Aside from the Mania match with his brother, which he admitted did not quite go as well as he would have hoped. But yeah, I think Damien needs to retain here. If you want to have him drop the belt, I think you have a very, very good location, a little bit north of where you guys are going to be here. With a certain Scotsman.
At a castle.
You do the thing right there. You have him win, and then you set up SummerSlam of Drew and someone.
Who likes Pepsi? Tim, who you got?
Coca-Cola, thanks. I like Jey in the main event. He's done enough to deserve being in the main event. This is not his first main event. We've got that understood. But I get the feeling that Jimmy and Jey are going to reunite and then eventually chase down those tag titles. Now, will they wind up eventually going after Awesome Truth? Or what do they call the other one?
A-Town Down Under.
That's it, because I couldn't get Thunder Down Under out of my brain. Do the tag champs change places tomorrow night? It's possible, right?
No, it's not. You can't. Champions are not draftable.
Damn it.
They made that very clear from the draft rules.
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't paying attention to the rules.
That's why Becky wasn't drafted. That's why Damian or Cody wasn't drafted.
That's why Logan's technically listed as a free agent.
Okay, well, you know, I'm like James Kirk. I like to change the rules. Anyway, okay, that being said, he's still they're still draftable.
Who wins?
Yeah, no. Huh?
Who wins?
At the end of the day, they've invested way too much into Damian. And I think that he deserves at least a half-decent run with that belt. I don't see them taking it off him for a few months, if not longer. Priest retains.
Cody Rhodes, AJ Styles for the WWE Championship.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this one.
Who wins?
This should be a good fight. Cody's retaining. Like, let's get that straightened out right now. Cody's going to keep the title, but this is going to be a fun match. These guys are going to put on a hell of a barn burner, I think. And that's what I'm looking forward to.
Mm-hmm. Cash?
Cody retains.
Simple and easy. Brent?
I mean, there's not much else to add.
I mean, AJ is the Shawn Michaels of this generation, according to The Undertaker. But even Shawn lost some matches. I'm going to go Cody here. I understand that, you know, the story is finished, a new chapter is being written, but this is not one of those Da Vinci Code chapters where it's only 3 pages long. This is going to have a little bit more oomph to it. Mm-hmm. I think AJ is going to give him a really good match, something to feature him as champion, gives him a very credible challenger right out the gate, but I also don't see AJ coming from a feud with LA Knight, not that that's a bad thing, picking up the title in this instance. But that's just me.
Okay. There you go. That's Backlash this Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern, I think, from France.
On Peacock
and the WWE Network. We'll post out the card later this week for you to make your picks, and then Brent will have them all this thing, and next week on the show, we'll run through everyone's picks, tell you how good you did, and if you beat us, or the wheel, or the eight ball, and the what-have-yous. But I think we're done.
And the white fours and the whatnots. That's it, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. As Rock said, pay attention to our socials for your chance to actually get your pick-ems recorded for posterity and all that other bullshit. Meanwhile, tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, the post-show will probably talk about the draft fallout.
We're going to talk all the draft fallout tomorrow night on the Raw post-show, 11 p.m. Eastern.
Which is 9 o'clock mountain for you Westerners living in the mountain time zone. Let's see, what else is going on this network? Oh, yeah, Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, a little thing called The Rat, multi-time award-winning webcast with the lovely, lovely Lindsay Ward.
Yes, we'll preview Backlash and give you all the news and notes that you can handle. It's The Rat live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Friday.
I was about to say, I think you should do on Friday? Some like general manager wars.
GM battles live Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Hashtag team intern.
Continue to book it.
Hashtag Triple H movement.
Sure, we'll go with that. So we'll talk
about
hashtag
Uwu.
No
Uwu.
Shit, good dog.
No Uwu. No Uwu.
Team Uwu on NXT. Team Uwu.
I said Ubu.
I said Uwu.
Yeah, well, if you didn't watch TV in the late 70s, early 80s, you won't get that. Anyway.
I know Sid Ubu, Sid. Good dog.
Okay. Good dog. There you go. Saturday, tune in because shit happens.
Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern, it's WTR Game Night featuring Uno. Followed by Facebo Raider Live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Brent's going to really love this debate this Saturday.
Something to do with Uno. Space Wars, and I'm already dreading
Trek
it.
Wars on top. This Saturday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, to talk all things WWE Backlash. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. Tim, you're on the socials.
Well, I'm on X, Twitter, Twixter, whatever you want to freaking call it. Elon Musk's little pet project.
Twix. On Twix.
Twix? No, that's a candy bar, dude. You can't do that. copyright infringement and all that other sticky, gooey stuff. But yeah, follow me at Flames Forums. For hockey, the playoffs are on right now. The Edmonton Oilers are currently the last team playing tonight. And their opponent is the Los Angeles Kings. I haven't been able to check the score, but I'll probably peek into the hockey game and look at it. Meanwhile, I'm starting to talk about a whole bunch of other stuff. Football's just around the corner, at least for Canada. The UFL is going right now, isn't it?
It is.
It's watchable sometimes, so you never know. But yeah, and I'm posting a lot of really goofy memes lately just because it's fun and I'm bored. So follow me at Flames Forums.
Keish is on the socials.
I am. You can find me on the X Twitter and the Instagrams at Kyle Driver. Sometimes I post, most times I don't, but I'm trying.
Yes,
I also have
yes you are. You're very trying.
I got links to a merch store on the description of those guys if you feel like going over and take a peruse.
I kid. I love you, Casey.
I know.
Okay. Well, oh, okay, Han Solo.
Brent?
You can find me on Twitter or X, as well as Instagram and Threads, at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. Some kind of amalgamation of those two across those. And as Rock said, you can tune in to GM battles and watch NXT still sit in first place over Team Raw. Hashtag trophies.
There you go.
Because that's what's counting right now. Trophies.
Not the fans that you're 100,000 fans behind. Not talking about that part.
It's 150, get it right. And it doesn't matter because trophies put you in first place. When you look at the teams, all it says is NXT, number one.
Mm-hmm.
At least my people are healthy.
There you go. That being said, we're done, son. And I'd like to thank you all for tuning in tonight and hope that you get your pick and picks in on the socials. And best of luck to you. I'm going to leave you with this little piece of sage advice. If somebody gives you a compliment, shut up and take it. Have yourself a great week, everybody. I'm ready to roll.